All right, brethren, let's go to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. I want to read verse 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. To you, in whom God's given faith in Christ so that he's your only hope, this is God's promise to you. This is his promise to you. As you read these words, saying that to yourself, reminding yourself of that. This is God's promise, the true and living God. This is his promise to me. He says in verse 3, thou wilt. That's who makes this promise. That's who will perform it. God will. Thou wilt keep him. The Lord Jehovah is a keeping God. He keeps by his grace his people. Those he chose in Christ, those he redeemed by Christ, those he regenerates by the Spirit, he will keep. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Is that what you need? That's what we need, perfect peace. We just sang this. This is where Miss Havergal got this, her hymn. You keep him in perfect peace. It's shalom, shalom. It's peace, peace is what it means. Double peace. We have peace with God our Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. Peace, peace. Peace with God and peace within. Who's he going to do this for? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. It's those that he's brought to have our mind stayed on Christ, fixed on Christ, leaned on Christ, settled on Christ. Why is he going to do this? Verse 3 says, because he trusteth in thee. When he's brought you to trust him, he won't betray your trust. He brought you to cast it all on him. He will not betray your trust. Then comes the instruction. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust anything you've done. He says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That he promised double peace. And here he lists his, he gives his name double. Jah Jehovah is what this is. It's a, his name's said double here. And he says, trust the Lord forever, for in the Lord is everlasting strength. Trust the Lord forever, because he's the rock of ages. He's the rock forever. Now in the context, this song is to Christ, it's a song of Christ's church. He says back in verse 1, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. The church is a strong city in Christ, who is our city of refuge. He says, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. But I want you to read this again and take the italics out and put a capital S there. Salvation will appoint walls and bulwarks. Our salvation is Christ. Listen to this. I read it earlier in out of Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. And when you go over to Isaiah 60 and verse 18, they capitalize the S and they say, thou shalt call thy walls salvation. He's our wall. He's our bulwark. He's our city of refuge. And he's our peace. He made his church his righteous nation. He made us his holy nation. Some of the old writers used to talk about there was the Jew and there was the Gentile, and they talked about God's people being a third race. And they are. They're that holy nation created of God. And he says in Verse 2, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. That's all his people. Now here's the promise again. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now at this moment, some of God's people, some of his saints are very troubled. And I came upon this passage, actually. I had my message prepared Wednesday, and I was speaking with somebody. I'd spoken with a couple of people, and they were telling me about the trouble they were in. And they just were rehearsing all the details and the trouble, and that's all the conversation was just about all the trouble, all the trouble. And that's what we do. That's what I do. That's what you do. When trouble comes, we start thinking on the trouble. We fix our mind on the trouble. And that's all we can think about is the trouble and the details of the trouble. And we become like David when he said, my heart's overwhelmed within me. We sink down like Peter did when he started looking at the waves and saw the wind boisterous, looked from Christ, and he started sinking down. But David also cried, Lord, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. That's what our text says. Trust in the Lord Jehovah. He's the rock of ages. He's the rock of ages. Well, how is it that we're going to be made to fix our mind on Christ? You know, sometimes you just can't seem to do that. You just can't. Well, understand this. He promises this to you. He has given the mind of Christ. He promises this to his people who he's already fixed us on Christ. He's always already set us on Christ in our heart, in our mind. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. In Christ, our perfect peace. The promise is he keeps us in perfect peace with God even when we don't feel perfect peace within us. Now, I know we want to feel that perfect peace, and we're going to talk about that too, but we need to talk about this first. Even when you don't feel like you have peace in you, that does not change the peace that Christ has made between God and his people. And he's going to keep those he's already brought to have your mind fixed on Christ. He's going to keep you in that perfect peace even when you don't feel like you have that peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, in Christ our perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in you. Those he's given a heart, he's going to keep peace for you. Now, we said, looked at this Thursday night, and I'm going to repeat it, and I don't find it grievous to repeat, but in Ephesians 2, Paul said, it's not grievous to repeat the same things, for you it's safe. And I'm going to repeat this because it is safe for us. Ephesians 2:13. Now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. The Son of God came and made peace with God our Father for his people. Our Lord Jesus came here and he perfected peace for his people. He perfected righteousness for his people by his work on the cross, so that his people have peace with God. He reconciled us to God by his own blood on the cross. God was in Christ reconciling his people to himself, not imputing our sins to us. And he has accomplished that work, and he is our perfect peace forever. The rock is the rock of ages. Our everlasting strength is God. Our everlasting strength with God is God, our Savior. He's our peace. Our only peace with God is Christ. Now, how do we come to have it? We're going to work our way here to this point of how is it I'm going to fix my mind on Christ when the trouble comes? Well, how did we have our minds fixed on Christ in the first hour? How did that happen? We didn't have our minds fixed on Christ to begin with. We were carnally minded. We were carnally minded. We were spiritually dead. We were minding only the things of our sinful flesh. And we couldn't do otherwise. We had no mind for spiritual things. We had no mind. We only had a mind for sinful flesh. Now, that's so whether we were in religion or out of religion. We had a mind only for our flesh. We all minded the God of our imagination. Everybody does that, in religion or out. Everybody has a God in their mind. And really, that idol God is self. He comes out of our mind, and he is just like us. We make him out to be somebody we can get along with, that'll receive us. Look at Romans 8:5. I want you to see this. I'm just going to read a part of it, and then I'll come back and read the other part later. But I want you to just see, this was us to begin with right here, and this is still in our flesh, but look at Romans 8:5. Verse 5 says, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They which are spiritual, they're after the spirit, they mind the things of the spirit. But we were after the flesh, born of Adam, after the flesh. All we minded was earthly things. For to be carnally minded, that is to be natural minded, is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. But here's why the carnal mind is death, because the carnal mind's enmity against God. The natural mind hates God. He's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And the best understanding of that, the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Paul said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. We had a mind, minding imaginary goodness in us. That's what we were minding, some imaginary goodness in us. I'm not perfect, I know that, but I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad as some. Not as bad as that one. Our mind was that God, who we imagined, would receive us, thinking, as long as our good outweighs our bad, he'll receive us. But all was only the evil lusts of our flesh. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. Whatever sinful lust, whatever religious lust, it was all just sinful lust. Every thought of the imaginations of our heart was only evil continually. That's what God says about us. But Christ came and preached peace to us. That's what Ephesians 2 said. He came and preached peace to us. And by his Spirit, he gave us the mind of Christ. Go over to 1 Corinthians 2. Let's see what that is. How do we become spiritually minded and have our mind fixed on Christ and settled on Christ to believe Christ is all? How did that happen? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11. He says, what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? I don't know what's in you. I don't know what you're thinking unless you tell me. Well, even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know, that we might be minded of the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, look down at verse 16. The last part says, because he did this, we have the mind of Christ. We've been fixed on Christ. Christ has been made wisdom to you who believe. That's what he does in the dead sinner. He finds you carnally minded, and he comes, and God shines light into the darkness, and he makes you behold the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus, makes us see we're sinners, undone, ruined, unable to save ourselves, unable to do anything to please God, and he makes you see Christ is the one he's pleased with. It makes you see what Christ has done, what he's accomplished for his people. And he makes you see yourself in total need of him and nobody else will do. And he draws you to him, and he makes your mind be stayed on him and fixed on him. And he shows you the things he's freely, freely given in Christ. Free righteousness, justified freely by the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, who God set forth to be the satisfying mercy seat, the one who accomplished mercy and accomplished making atonement with God and satisfaction to God for his people through faith in his blood. And he brings your mind to be fixed on Christ, settled on Christ, and therefore being justified. by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. And through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice that we're going to stand one day in His presence, in glory, and praise our Lord Jesus who did this. So the way we began having our minds stayed on Christ is He came and preached peace to us and taught us what He did for us and showed us what He did for us and gave us a new mind and made us be set on Him. They that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. When He did this for you, they that are after spirit mind the things of the spirit. He made you start minding the things that He had freely done for you. Minding Christ, minding Him, set on Him. The carnal mind's death. But this spiritual mindedness is what? It's life and it's peace. You have peace in Christ. You have peace in what He did for you. It's accomplished. Peace, peace, perfect peace. It's not in me. It's not in us. It's not in something we did. Christ is our perfect peace. Peace with God. And He's given peace in our heart. It's peace, peace. We have it by Christ. Now, if we're not in Him, we're not trusting Him, we're not believing on Him, He hasn't made us spiritually minded so that our hearts are set and we want to be found in Him alone. We want to walk before Him and please Him and be found only in Him. If that's not our case, then we saying peace, peace is no peace at all. This peace is only in the Lord Jesus. Now, I know by experience as well as you that we become troubled in our minds. We become very troubled in our minds. We have this nature with us that's still sin. And when we get troubled, I know what we do. I do the very same thing. We do exactly what the Lord teaches us not to do. Our Lord said in Proverbs 3:5, He said, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart." He's saying, stay on Christ. Keep your heart set on Christ. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And He says, and lean not to thine own understanding. That word lean is the same root word in our text as stayed. It's the same root word, stayed. He says, stay not on your own understanding. Stay not on your thoughts. Don't fix your mind on your thoughts. Stay on Christ. Fix your heart, your mind on Christ. But isn't that what we do in trouble? We stay our minds on our trouble. We go over and over the details in our minds. We go over and over and over it. Wake up going over it. Go over it throughout the day. Go to bed going over it. And get up, do it all over again. And this is what we do too. We even start imagining what's going to happen tomorrow and worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow, and we don't even know what if we're going to be alive tomorrow. And we create new troubles that ain't even come to pass yet. And we're worried about those troubles. And what our minds are stayed on affects everything about us, affects our communion with God, and affects our unity with one another. Whatever we got our minds stayed on. It's really just unbelief. And here's the fact of it is, leaning to our own understanding is the worst possible thing we could lean on. It's the worst possible thing we could have ourselves fixed on. Because our own understanding is full of speculation, it's full of doubt, it's full of uncertainty. Fleshly surmising takes over, evil thoughts take over. And the Lord just quite frankly says, don't do it. What happened when Peter saw the wind and the waves? He was looking at Christ. He was focused on Christ. His heart was fixed on Christ. And I fully believe what the scripture says. He walked on water. That wasn't any big deal for the Lord. The Lord came and took flesh. The Son of God took flesh. The Son of God went to the cross and put away the sin of His people. You think it's any big deal to make a man walk on water? He's holding this whole thing together by His sovereign power. He is gravity. He is nature that everybody calls Mother Nature. It's God doing it. You think making a man walk on water is any big deal? But as long as Peter was looking at Christ, he's walking on that water. His heart was fixed on him. His mind was fixed on it. When he started looking at the waves and the wind and saw it was boisterous, he started sinking. Our peace within may falter. But what our text is telling us is our perfect peace with God does not change, though our peace within falters. It does not. Christ is that peace. Aren't you thankful it's not dependent on whether or not you feel peace or not? Christ is our peace. He's our everlasting strength. But just like he did in the beginning, how are we going to get our minds fixed on him? Here's the interesting thing. When I was talking to my friend, this verse came to me just like a thunderbolt. And I almost preached on this Thursday night. But I thought, well, I have this message. And I thought, that'll be better to preach first, and maybe I'll preach on this Sunday. And when I was thinking on this, and my mind was fixed on Christ, I mean, scriptures were coming to me. I was writing things down. It was just like that. And I got up Friday morning, and I couldn't fix my mind on Christ to save my life. I couldn't. I had every kind of trouble in my mind, and I just could not fix my mind on Christ. So how is our mind brought to be fixed on Christ when you're in that shape? Verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." It's not just that he's going to keep you in peace because your mind stayed on him. It's because he's brought you to trust him, he's going to keep your mind stayed on him and keep you knowing he's your peace when you're sinking down. Who saved Peter? When Peter started sinking down, when looking the other way, he said, "Help, Lord," and the Lord saved him. And he's the one that's going to keep us fixed on him, knowing he's our only peace. If it's personal sin that caused our trouble, it'll totally lambast our communion and our peace with God. And it's a good thing. He won't let you have peace with him. And he's going to correct you. He's going to chasten us. He's going to bring us to see it and know it. No matter what he has to do, that's what he's going to do. How does he do it? Go to Colossians 3. The Colossians were being... had men coming in, they were puffed up by their fleshly mind, and they were telling them to touch not, taste not, handle not, and all these things they needed to do. And they weren't fixing their minds on Christ. They were turning them from Christ to themselves, is what they were doing. And Paul came in and he said, "You're complete in Christ. You're complete in Christ. He circumcised your flesh. Your flesh is dead. He circumcised you in the heart and brought you to have your mind fixed on him. Why, as though your life is in this world, are you subject to touch not, taste not, and handle not? Your life's not in this world. That don't affect your peace with God." Well, if you tell them that, Paul, they just going to sin more and more. He didn't stop there. Here's how the flesh is strengthened so that we are able to mortify our flesh, right here. Colossians 3:1. "If ye then be risen with Christ," this is what he said after saying all that, "if you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set, fix, stay your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead." Believer, you're dead in Christ. He died. When he died, you died. You old man of sin died. You're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are on the earth. That's how he does it right there. He takes you, Christ comes, and he speaks a word of what he's accomplished for you in your heart and makes you behold him bearing your sin, make you behold that you really died and your old man of sin died in him, and he makes you see your sin in light of what he did for you, and he speaks this word into your heart, and he says, "Now mortify that flesh." And that's when you'll have strength to mortify it. And not a second before. if our trouble's over the cares of this life. We can just, you ever have somebody say, just don't worry about it when you got real trouble? Just don't worry about it. Ain't no way you can stop worrying about it. Christ comes. Look at Luke 12. Christ comes. He sends a word just like this right here. But he speaks it into your heart. And he says what he says right here in Luke 12, verse 29. Seek not ye what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. He speaks this effect and he says, turn from this doubtful mind, this anxious worry and care you're having over all these things. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father, your heavenly Father, your sovereign heavenly Father, knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. As he sees fit, he'll provide those things you all worried about. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You don't think he's going to provide whatever we're worried about. And he speaks that into our hearts. And you know what he does when he does that? He fixes your mind on him. And you see, I've got perfect peace. He spared not his son. He going to give me whatever piddly thing it is I'm worried about. He'll do that. And I'm telling you now, I know we're not always in this perfect peace. This perfect peace is Christ. We just enter into it, and there's some sweet moments he gives us where we know everything's all right. A little while, we're back worrying about something. A little while, that peace is interrupted, and he comes, and he speaks this word effectually again, and that's when you have peace. You enter back into this peace. Your mind's fixed on him. Well, what if you get lifted up in pride or you're opposed by pride? Well, that happens too. You know, we get offended. We get all lifted up and puffed up like a big old bullfrog. He comes and he says, serve the Lord with all humility of mind. What's true humility? Where's it come from? We can't produce it. When he says that word, he humbles you. He humbles you. When he says, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. How am I going to do that? He says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. He made himself of no reputation. He took the form of a servant. He was obedient to the Father on your behalf and laid down his life and highly glorified the Father by what he did. Well, but you don't know what's been said to me. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. When he speaks that word, you can be the one reviling, or you can be the one being reviled. But when he speaks that word, your mind's fixed on him. And you realize, he's my righteous judge. He judged me at Calvary. He declares to me in the court of my conscience as my righteous judge that my sin's put away and I'm righteous in him. He can judge the matter. He can judge it. And you commit it to him. Why don't we just stay there? Why don't we just always just stay there? Because we have a sinful nature. But he keeps you fixed on him and keeps you knowing. He's judging righteousness for his people. In this earth, right now, he's doing it. Commit it to him. Commit it to him. And he fixes you on him. He stays your mind on him. And you know. You know. Well, what if the trouble lasts a long time? If the devil can't get you by just coming and making you lose it like this, he'll try to tire you out. He'll try to go a long time and make you lose your patience. He'll if he can't get you right away, he'll eventually try to get you to where you end up like Peter and throw your hands up and say, "I'm just going fishing." What's going to happen then? How are you going to be kept then? Our Lord makes us have divine recall in our minds. That's what he does. Go to Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3. He was thinking about the wormwood and the gall and was cast down. Verse 21, he says, "This I recall to my mind." How is that going to happen for a sinner? Same way it happened the first hour. The Lord's going to get the glory. He's going to make you have divine recall. He's going to make you recall what he's done for you in your mind. "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not." There's one whose compassions never fail you. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. "Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul." That's where he brings you. When he sets your mind on him again, he makes you come to this. "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good to them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It's good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." That's how he's going to keep you patient, waiting on him. Rather than giving up and go back, he's going to make you persevere looking to him. He stays your mind on him. Whatever the case, whatever it is, we could go on through, we got enough troubles as we got imagination. Whatever the trouble is, here's what he's doing the whole time. When he comes and he stays your mind on him, here's what he does. He comes and he says, "Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." That's where he's going to bring you every single time. He don't stop it. Now, he's our peace with God, our perfect peace with God. He never ceases being our perfect peace with God. But when we're troubled and tossed and our minds are all over the place, it's him coming and reminding you, this, whatever it is you got you tossed and troubled, it's of my hand. It's of God's hand. And he reminds you, one of these words, I preached this one time before, and I remember this from before, and I remembered it when we just sang "Peace Like a River." She said, "Hidden in the hollow of his gracious hand." One of these words here, I think it's where it says, keeps him in perfect peace. He keeps you. I believe that word is, it has to do with a hollow, with a, like a crook in an arm or the hollow of a hand. She knew what she was saying. That's where she got it, because that's the Hebrew word. And he reminds you, this is of my hand, but you're in the hollow of my hand. I'm caring for you. I'm caring for you. He's our sovereign redeemer, brethren. He's our sovereign redeemer. He's sovereign in salvation. He didn't try to save us. He saved us. He didn't try to redeem his people. He redeemed his people. And he's in glory now, having suffered everything his people suffer. You can't find one thing in this book that you suffered that he didn't suffer. Not a thing. Nothing. He has suffered everything we suffered and knows every feeling of our sinful infirmities. He was touched with them. He knows them. And he's sovereign to come and fix your mind on him. And that's our comfort. He makes you see he's your perfect peace, and he keeps you stayed on him. It's not enough to say the devil won't do us any harm. That falls short of it. By God's sovereign hand, the devil's doing us nothing but good. That's the truth of it. He doesn't just work some things. He works all things together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. All things together. The good, the bad, and the ugly. He working it all together for his people. Every bit of it. And he speaks effectually, and here's where he brings you. Here's where he brings. Verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Our rock is the rock of ages forever. Trust him forever. You know, Proverbs 8:21, wisdom speaking, and that's Christ, wisdom speaking. And he says, I cause those that love me to inherit substance. You know why faith is the substance of things hoped for? He says, I cause those that love me to inherit substance. You know why? It means rock. It means substance. You know why faith is the substance of things hoped for? Because faith is trusting Christ, our rock. That's why. And that's the substance. That's the rest. That's the everlasting strength of his people. The everlasting strength of his people. He's the helmet of salvation. You know why? He is our salvation. He's the one that's going to protect our mind and keep us stayed on him. So, instead of waking up and rehearsing the trouble, wake up and read this verse of scripture. And realize and think about him all day. Once time comes and you've done been troubled by everything under the sun, pull that verse back out and read it. And remember, he's keeping me. And when you get ready to go to bed, read it again and be thinking about him. Listen to this from Proverbs 16:3. Listen just how simple this is. Commit thy works unto the Lord. That means whatever's coming to pass in your life, commit thy works unto the Lord. Commit thy works to the Lord. I don't mean give him some of them. They don't mean cast a little bit on it. That means commit every bit of it to him. What's going to be the result? And thy thoughts shall be established. You commit it all to the rock, and your thoughts will be established on the rock. Amen.